my wife married me was because, and the reason why she still stays with me after, let's see, 2010, 34 years, is she says, you make Krishna consciousness fun. So that's what I try to do. So here's my proposal. You have two options. I could answer questions. We could have a townhouse meeting. You shoot me questions, I'll try to answer. Or else, I'll tell the story of Damodar. Who wants questions and answers? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one, two people. I guess everybody else wants the story of Damodar. Okay, boss, I need some more of this ginger brew. You too. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we can do questions after to keep everybody happy. And the questions can be on anything. You know, no question is out of bounds. So my name is Nirantara Das. I joined this movement in 1973. As I was telling these nice young people, that the reason I joined this movement was the food. I had gotten a book. I liked the book. I had gotten a second book. I liked that too. And after reading the first six chapters of The Life of Krishna, I closed the book and said, I'm joining this movement. Then I met a girl at a college, and I come to find out she had been a devotee for a couple of years. So she would go to class, come back, answer my questions, go to class, come back, answer. By the end of the day, I said, can you take me to the temple? And she goes, oh, okay. So we go to the temple, and she gave me beads and showed me how to chant. And when we got to the temple, Prabhupada was there and was like, wow. I said to myself, now I have found the modern Jesus. Prabhupada looked so majestic. He was glowing. He was just, I said, this is it. I have found it. Then they gave me the food. Whoa. Now, I hate spinach. My mother would make spinach. I'd spit it out. But they gave me this much spinach. I ate that spinach. I jumped up. Give me more! Give me more! They said, gotta come back tomorrow. So I decided, oh, man, there's nowhere in New York I can get this food. It's so good. Forget about it. So I was coming to the temple as often as I can. That was in end of March, and by July, I still remember July 15th is when I showed up with my suitcase and I said, I'm joining. Best decision I ever made. Second best decision was at the end of 1979, December, when my future wife called me on the phone. I was in the New York temple. I pick up the phone. Do you remember me? I go, who is this? And she said her name, because we had met 2 years earlier. That's another long story. She says on the phone, do you want to marry me? Now, I was like, I didn't know what to say. So I said, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. So at 2 weeks, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and Krishna gave me the answer. Idiot, marry her. Second best decision I ever made. So that's a little bit about me. My name is Nirantara Das, and I travel to different places singing. Sometimes I play guitar and sing songs that my wife and I have written. And usually I am preaching to Indian people from India. So this is a real rare treat for me. to speak to a non-Hindu audience. Like, I sometimes go to high schools and colleges, same thing. But 95% of what I do since 94, so for the past 20 years, has been Indian. So I'm really Hinduized. But it's a rare treat when I get to be with Americans. And Caribbean man. All right. So, before I tell the story, I just want to add one thing. I always say, when does a girl look the prettiest? When she smiles. But beyond that, anybody, no matter how ugly or whatever, when they chant Krishna's name, they look beautiful. A chanter, that's the most beautiful person. I always say there's two kinds of people, chanters and ranters. So you all chanted nicely and you couldn't see yourself, but I was looking at you while you were chanting. You looked beautiful, every one of you. So it's actually, today is the day, 5,000 years ago, that this pastime of Damodar, everybody say?
Damodar.
Took place. This is Diwali, right, today? This is a very, one of the most popular, if not most popular, Hindu festival. Like in India today and right now, there are fireworks, and it's like the biggest day for them. The day that Lord Ram came back to his kingdom victorious with his wife and Hanuman and his brother Lakshman, and they returned to their city after being exiled for how many years? 12? I thought it was 13, 14. Anyway, between 12 and 14 years, haven't done my homework lately. They had been banished to the forest. I think it's 13. And now they've come back triumphant. And so the people greeted them with lamps. So Diwali, actually the technical term is Deepavali, lighting of lamps. So right now in all Hindu homes, they've got candles all over. You know, all day long, they're just burning, and they have fireworks, and it's like, it's actually New Year's for them, for Hindus. This is New Year's Day. So on this day, Krishna's mother, what's her name?
Yashoda.
Yashoda, she's the queen of the village. Her husband, Nanda Maharaj. All right, he's the king of this cowherd community. They got lots and lots of cows. But if she's the queen, you gotta think she must have some special cows, right? You gotta make the queen feel special. So she did. Yashoda had special cows, and they would eat this special grass. And by eating, these cows eating that grass would give the milk a specific, wonderful flavor. So on this day, Diwali day, Yashoda is churning the yogurt to make butter. Now, why was she doing this? Because she has so many servants, she can just snap, hey, you. No. Previous to this, Krishna and his elder brother Balaram had been doing big nonsense. They're about 3 or 4 years old, Krishna and Balaram, and they have been doing mischief in the neighborhood. They have been going to the neighbors' homes, stealing their butter and yogurt, and if they didn't like the butter and yogurt, they would sometimes pass stool and urine in the person's home. Then Krishna and Balaram would go to the little babies and pinch them to make them cry. Yes, Krishna and Balaram are naughty. Now the neighbors, they would go to Krishna's mother. What's her name?
Yashoda.
See, I gotta keep everybody awake. Okay, spot quiz. They would go to Yashoda and complain, your son has done this. So Yashoda would say, well, why don't you hide your butter and yogurt so Krishna can't find it? They would say, no, your son has some special effulgence. Even if it's a dark room, by his effulgence, he can see where the butter and yogurt is. You got to do something. Actually, these neighbors, they weren't really complaining. They just wanted an excuse to see Krishna and Balaram. So on the pretext of complaining, because see, this is Vrindavan. It's a special place. Vrindavan is that place where everybody doesn't love Raymond. Everybody loves Krishna. That's Vrindavan. Everybody has their husband and their own children, and they love them like anything. But everybody in Vrindavan has special attraction for Krishna. So Yashoda was thinking on this day, there must be something wrong with the butter and yogurt Krishna is getting at home, and that's why he's going to the neighbors causing a disturbance. So she was using that milk from those cows. She was going to make special butter and yogurt for her beautiful son, Krishna. So she's churning and working very hard, doing it herself. All of a sudden, Krishna has been taking a nap. He wakes up, comes to his mother, and stops her and indicates that he wants her to feed him the breast milk. Even though he's like maybe 2, 3, 4 years old, still he's drinking the breast milk. It is said, even scientists agree, that if a child drinks the mother's breast milk, that child becomes very, very powerful and strong and immune from lots of diseases. So Yashoda stops the churning, takes Krishna on her lap, starts to feed him, and she's looking at his beautiful face, and she's smiling, because every mother loves their little baby, right? And if your baby was Krishna, you would love it even more. And while she was churning the butter, she was singing songs, and the songs were songs that she composed all about Krishna's previous incidents, how Krishna killed the Putana and this, and different incidents. Yashoda had made them into songs, so she was singing about her Krishna. So she's feeding Krishna and looking at his beautiful face. All of a sudden, she hears a noise from the kitchen. The milk is boiling over on the oven. And anyone who's worked in the kitchen cleaning a stove or oven where milk has spilled, it takes a lot of work. You gotta scrub and scrub. So Yashoda wants to take care of the milk boiling over, so she has to stop Krishna from eating, puts him down, and goes to take care of the milk that's boiling over on the stove. Well, Krishna is not happy, and he gets angry, and he has false tears in his eyes, and he bites his lip. He's angry. He takes a stone and throws it at the pot, and it breaks, and all the butter and yogurt comes down. And Krishna's not done. He steps in the butter and yogurt, and now he knows that he's done nonsense, so he goes away. But he stepped in the butter. He goes to a place in the house, and he's eating butter and yogurt secretly. After Yashoda comes back from taking care of the milk on the stove, she sees the mess, and she understands, oh, my child is very intelligent. After doing this nonsense, he's run away. So Yashoda has a stick. She's going to teach Krishna a lesson with the stick. And she can tell where Krishna has gone because of the footprints of the butter footprints. So she follows the trail of Krishna's footprints. And she turns the corner, and there is Krishna. And he's standing on top of this big wooden mortar that's used for grinding spices. And he's on top, and because they have the butter and yogurt hanging in big containers hanging from the ceiling, and he's been able to reach up there. He's taking the butter and yogurt and giving it to the monkeys. At the same time, Krishna's like this, looking this way. He knows that any minute his mother's going to come. All of a sudden, he sees her with the stick. Krishna gets shocked, and he sees the stick. So he jumps down and runs, because he doesn't want to get the stick. Nobody wants to get the stick. I got the stick once in Catholic school. I got the ruler, Sister Mary Virgin. I was a real nonsense, and she made me come in front of the class. Stick out your hand. Whack! I didn't cry, though. I was in the eighth grade, I think. You know, because it was boys and girls, so I didn't want to look like a sissy. It hurt, but she whacked me. Anyway, Krishna does not want to get hit with the stick, so he's running. Now, Yashoda, she has a thin waist, full hips, nice sized breasts, so it's not easy for her to run, okay? But after some time, she captures him. And when she captures him, Krishna is shaking, and he's really crying. Before, he had false tears, but now he's crying. And Krishna has a pearl necklace, and because he's breathing, really quick breathing, he's afraid of his mother, and he's looking at her crying, and Krishna has mascara in his eyes, and because of the tear, it's running down his face. Yashoda's looking at him with the stick, and she's thinking, well, if I use the stick, maybe that's too much, and it'll create a psychological thing that later on he won't grow up properly. So she throws the stick away. She says, what he did doesn't deserve the stick, but he's nonsense. He's too restless. I gotta do something. So she decides to tie him up, because she's got work to do, and this is a point. Even you're the mother of God, you have to work. It's not that the mother of God is sitting back, oh, what's the watch TV right? No, the mother of God has to work. She has lots of chores to do in the house. So she decides, I'm going to tie him up to that wooden grinding mortar. So she asks one of the servants, bring me some rope. So she tries to tie up Krishna, but she's short by two fingers. So she tells the servant, bring some more rope. More rope is added, but it's still two fingers too short. Meanwhile, the neighbors are now coming, and they're laughing and smiling because they can see what's going on. All the rope in the house was added, and it was still two fingers too short. Yashoda is like, she's exhausted. She's perspiring. The flowers in her hair and the comb in her hair have come down. She's expended all this energy, and she can't tie up Krishna. And all the neighbors are also smiling and laughing. And even Yashoda starts to laugh. She realizes something's going on here. I can't tie up my son. And when Krishna sees that his mother has now become exhausted, then Krishna allows her to tie him up. So, because he saw, all right, she's exhausted, now I'm going to let her tie me up. So Yashoda ties up Krishna, and then Yashoda goes about doing her housework. And Krishna is thinking, My mother thinks I am now tied up, that I can't do any more nonsense. I will show her. And so Krishna looks out into the courtyard and he sees two trees. He goes, oh yes, those two trees. I know about those two trees. My great devotee Narada, he once cursed these two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva. And he cursed them to become trees. And Narada wants me to deliver them. So Krishna starts crawling. And while he crawls, he pulls that wooden grinding mortar. And it gets stuck between the two trees. And Krishna pulls with great strength. And the trees fall down. And when they fall down with a big crash, these two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they offer prayers to Krishna. And they pray to him for pure devotion. And Krishna says, yes, you can return to your homes. They had been living as trees for on earth years, many hundreds of years. Many hundreds of years they were in those tree bodies. But now they were allowed to go to their kingdom and the heavenly planets. And Krishna said, yes, you will remain devoted and you will eventually go to my abode in the spiritual world. Now, there are a few things that need to be understood about this lila. So, why the two fingers always too short? There's a reason why. Krishna was showing not just Yashoda, everyone. You cannot tie me. Not by your work, not by your meditation, not by your mental speculation. You want to tie me? You have to tie me with love. And this is, for me, this was something that just brought it home. Because before becoming a devotee, before I realized Krishna, my favorite song was, all you need is love. You know that song? That was my theme song. And I was looking for love. But Dina didn't love me. Neither did Michelle and Linda. They all said, bye-bye, loser. I was looking for love and I was thinking, I have so much love to give, but nobody wants my love. Then Prabhupada came and he wrote in his books, yes, everybody's looking for love, but you're loving the wrong thing. Prabhupada was writing, you should learn how to love Krishna. So when I read that, I said, this is my religion. The religion that teaches the only thing that God really wants from any of us is our love. I love that concept. Later, a few years later, I was in Atlanta, and Prabhupada was giving the lecture. This was 1975, so I said, I'm going to ask a question. So I raised my hand. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And everybody was thinking he was going to say this, he was going to say that. He closed his eyes, he tilted his head and said, when you love Krishna. And everybody was like, what? They couldn't believe. It's recorded. It's on the tape. I got credit for that one. I'm the one who asked Prabhupada that question. Prabhupada told me. So I take that as the instruction of my guru. I have to learn how to love Krishna or God. Because that's the only thing he cares about. Love. And when I preach in the high schools, and like every year, I go to this one Catholic high school. They always invite me. And so when I'm preaching Krishna consciousness to this high school, I always start with, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, love God with your whole heart, your whole, you know what I'm talking about. I was raised Catholic, so there was one thing I remembered from my catechism classes, was that question the Roman soldier asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love God. He didn't say, love me. He said, love God with your whole soul, your whole heart, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I use this exact thing when preaching to that Catholic school, and I tell them, love your neighbor as yourself. We really love our neighbor, even our cow neighbor. Oh, we don't kill animals because we see them as our neighbor. I don't go any further on that. I don't, like, you got it. I'm all positive. But I want them to understand Jesus is saying exactly what Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna, our whole philosophy is based on love of God. So the two fingers meant nothing can tie up God or capture God other than your love. And we may think, but I'm so insignificant. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Why is that? Because we are all individuals. According to the Bhagavad Gita, we are eternally individual persons. We're not this body, but you that you haven't seen yet. Not the you see in the mirror. And trust me, when you get to my age, you're glad you're not your body. Okay? So the soul inside the body, that's eternal. It's a person. You always were a person. You're a person now. You will always be an individual person. So what does God relish? Why do we exist? We exist to exchange love with God. And what is that love? That love is, by my free will, I choose. I want to love you. I want to serve you. If there's no free will, you can't have love. That's the whole thing. Just like my relationship with my wife. What makes it so wonderful is she chooses to stay with me. She chose me. She wanted to be with me and wants to be with me and works hard so that I can travel around the world and preach. She supports me. She could have said, I want you to get a job, bozo. No, she says, I'll work, you go out and preach. That's why I'm here today. She's in Century City in Los Angeles, working long hours. So that's her love, by her free will. That's her love. So God is the same way. When you, an individual with free will, choose Krishna, I want to love you. That is what he's relishing. That choice that you want. Because God is also a person. I've asked several of my God brothers, what was the most significant thing you learned from Prabhupada? They said this, that God is a person. So, everybody chant Hare Krishna for me, please. Come on. So that's the main thing that the two fingers indicated. And the other thing is that Yashoda's love for her son, she doesn't know, here's the thing, she doesn't know that Krishna is God. If she thinks that Krishna is God, she could never tie him up. Because if you think someone's God, how are you going to be? You're going to be like this, reverence, there won't be intimacy. Like, do you ever see the movie Wizard of Oz? So when I am the omnipotent Oz, and they're like, That's how most people think of God, right? They're afraid of him. Oh, I'll smite thee down, right? So Yashoda, there's no conception of God. All she knows is this is my son. But the thing is, he is God. Because God is cool. Krishna is the coolest. He's tired of being God. He's God all the time. People are praying to him all the time. It's boring. But here is somebody who will love him spontaneously. And in order to have that intimacy, he doesn't want this conception of God to interfere. He wants to enjoy the intimacy. He's playing. He's playing a role that he is the son of Yashoda. And in order for that to happen, she can't have any conception that Krishna is God. But he is. That's the mystery. Okay, questions. Any question on anything? Yes, sir. The only answer I can give, it seems like every once in a while he wants to put a whammy on her. Like, you know, like, check this out. All right, it's like, wow. Now, she doesn't, you know, she like almost thinks, but then immediately, so there's this thing called yoga maya. We are in Mahamaya, illusion. We're an illusion in the material world thinking I'm Italian, I'm this, I'm that, but that's not who we are. We're also playing roles, male, female. Next time, I might be a woman. Like I know an astrologer told somebody, oh, you two, you've been married 5 times. Each time you change roles. Yeah, so we're also playing roles. So Krishna, in all this, sometimes wants to like, show Yashoda, guess what? And then immediately Yoga Maya takes over and she like, no, he's just my son. So it appears, that's the only explanation I can give. He just wants to, because Krishna's always doing these amazing things. Like tomorrow, we're going to be appreciating Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. So at one moment, he displays something that's impossible for an ordinary person. And then in the next moment, it's like, yeah, but he's just Krishna. Like even Krishna's father, in that incident, everybody's telling him, you know what? Your son is God. And Nanda Maharaj goes, he may be whatever he is, but he's my son, and I've got to bring him up properly. So the yoga maya comes in and out, and even though they see something, at the next moment, they get covered over, they forget what they just saw, so to speak, and they go back to that spontaneous, loving emotion.
When she saw every single universe, every single atom, every single demigod, every single mountain, water, fire, and all the elements.
And herself.
And herself. Is that then, since it was inside him, is the material creation his internal potency?
Well, that whole thing, that whole incident is definitely a display of his internal potency. But if it's the material universe is material, but he can display it any way he likes. So it's happening by the spiritual potency, but the actual display, you know, it's if it's the material energy, it's the material energy. No, the spiritual world is internal energy. The spiritual world, I don't think it was said that she saw the spiritual world. No, she saw the material cosmic manifestation.
So since I was inside his body, is his external energy, I was thinking then the spiritual world. Because she saw inside him, then is the spiritual world outside of that, conceptually?
Yeah, it is. The spiritual, yes, but, okay. The spiritual manifestation exists, and the material manifestation is a perverted reflection. Sometimes in the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the material manifestation is like a dream. So Now keep in mind, Krishna in Vrindavan, that's actually the spiritual world. What's happening, that whole Vrindavan, that's actually the spiritual world manifesting on earth. Like right now, Krishna's pastimes are happening in India, in Vrindavan. But we can't see them. Why? We don't have the access codes. But when you have love of God, you'll be able to see it. Does that make any sense to you? Yeah, so it's like a higher dimension. People go to Vrindavan and they go, well, this is a filthy place. But if you were on that level of pure devotion for God, you would not see that. You would see, because it's like a veil. The material world is covering the reality, so to speak. So, you know, Yashoda's in the spirit, she's in Yogamaya, she's in the spiritual world on earth, but she saw a manifestation of herself in Krishna. Okay? That's the best I can do. Other questions on any topic? That's right. It's good. Latch on to those. Keep on dreaming. I don't have dreams like you're more fortunate than me. Although I do have sometimes have dreams of devotees and I'm preaching or eating prasadam. But sometimes I don't have nice dreams. So you're very fortunate. Go on with your dreams. Yes. More questions? Yes. That's Devaki.
Oh.
See, Devaki, okay, so that's the quote-unquote real mother of Krishna. But they were, okay, Krishna is in the womb of Devaki and Vasudeva. They're there in Kamsa's prison. Krishna appears first as four-handed Narayan. Then Vasudeva and Devaki pray to him, and he goes, okay, I'm going to change into an ordinary human baby, and you bring me to Yashoda. She just gave birth to a girl. Switch me. So Yashoda didn't know. Up until 11 years, Yashoda actually thinks this is my son. Actually, he's not. He was born to Vasudeva and Devaki, but they were switched at birth. Yashoda, when she gave birth, as soon as she gave birth, she fell asleep. So she didn't remember if she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So when she woke up, she saw a girl. I mean, the boy. She saw Krishna. So she thought, oh. But actually, she gave birth to a girl. That girl was switched. And so when Kamsa woke up and saw the eighth child of Devaki, he was like, wait a second. It's not supposed to be a girl. And then he tried to kill the girl. And the girl went up into the sky and said, you idiot, you rascal. The child you're looking for is already born somewhere else. Because it was Durga. She went away. So the babies were switched. So Yashoda thinks that Krishna is hers. But later, 11 years later, when Krishna kills Kamsa, then it's all revealed. Then Yashoda finds out, oh, he's not really my son? Yeah. He's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But Vasudeva and Devaki didn't have those first 11 years. Yashoda got those first, and those were special. Devaki missed out. And then even after Krishna returned, he was only with Vasudeva and Devaki for a little while. Then he went to school. Then Krishna married 16,108 wives only. And she gets to be with him in Dwarka. So when he has his 16,000 wives, Vasudeva and Devaki are living in Dwarka. So they get more of association of Krishna later. Okay? And Of course, Krishna is always leaving Dwarka to fight some demon, but for the rest of his life, Dwarka is his home, and Vasudeva and Devaki are there. Good enough?
Yeah.
Did I clear it up?
Yeah.
More questions. I love questions. You want to start serving, it's fine with me. 7:30, right? Yes. I said only.
But why?
It's called renunciation. It's called detachment. One of Krishna's names is Ananta. He's unlimited. So 16,108 compared to unlimited is a drop in the bucket. But why 16,108? First of all, the 108 are special. Eight special, and the 16,100 were all gotten at one time. They had been kidnapped by an evil king. And when Krishna killed that evil king, those girls, they had no choice. So Krishna said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Well, nobody's going to marry us because we've been kidnapped. We want you to marry us." So Krishna said, "Okay, come on." So he took them to Dwarka and had a big wedding of 16,100. The other eight, they all prayed to God throughout their lives that Krishna would be their husband. Like Rukmini, the first one. Rukmini wrote a letter to Krishna saying, "I will only marry you, nobody else. Even if it takes 100 births, I'll do whatever it takes. I only want you." And the other queens also, it was a similar thing. They didn't want anybody. They only wanted Krishna, which is something they had developed from previous lives, and now was their chance, their opportunity. But Krishna made it exciting. Like Rukmini, she was supposed to be married to this Shishupal. And Rukmini wasn't sure if Krishna was going to come. And just at the last second, Krishna comes on the chariot, takes her away. See, Krishna makes it exciting. He's the coolest. Krishna is the coolest. More questions. Anything. Anything, anything, anything. We're good? All right, bring on the food.
I think they're making it up right now.
Oh. Okay, you got a question.
What is the relation between Lord Ram and Lord Krishna?
So Ram is, like I was been saying, Krishna's cool. So he can clone himself. So Ram is Krishna, but in a different form. And he has his own devotees, his own planet, and it's a different mood. Krishna's mood is spontaneous, and Krishna in Vrindavan, it's rural, it's cows and the forest and the river Yamuna, whereas Ram, he's the king of kings, and Ram exhibits the perfect son, the perfect husband, the perfect king. Ram does everything perfectly, you could say to a fault, because he wants to set the highest example as a human being. So Ram is Krishna, he's God, but in a, just like, are you a musician?
Not so much.
Do you play any kind of musical instrument?
At one point.
Okay, so imagine. Imagine you could be the guitarist, the bass, the drum, the singer, and the keyboard player all at the same time. Would that be cool? I wish I could do that, because I can't get people to play my music the way I want. All right? So if I could be Krishna, then I would play guitar. Then another me would be singing. Another me would be playing drums. And that's God. He can do that. Like when he married the 16,000 wives, It's not that each wife had to wait 16,108 nights to be with Krishna. Krishna expanded himself. During the day, there was one Krishna. Then at the end of the day, the one Krishna would enter the area where all the palaces were, and then one Krishna would become 16,108 Krishnas. And each wife would have their own Krishna at night. And once Narada Muni came to see Krishna, so he wanted to see, because Narada Muni, he's like a mystic yogi. So mystic yogis can expand 8 or 9 times. But those expansions can only do the same thing. Whereas when Narada saw Krishna, he went to the first palace. Krishna was on the bed and Rukmini was fanning him. Okay, he left that palace. What was Krishna doing in the next palace? Riding a horse. Then he went to the next palace. Krishna was eating. Then he went to the next palace. Every palace that Narada went to, Krishna was doing a different thing. And Narada said, now that's God. This is cool. He can do 16,108 different things at the same time. You have a question. Yes, he had 10 sons with each wife and one daughter with each wife. That's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So his family, and each of those sons had 10 sons. So Krishna's Yadu dynasty was quite extensive.
So you think that there are living, breathing
descendants? You know, this is a topic that there seems to be some difference of opinion. Because it is said that Krishna's family, at the end, annihilated each other. It was Krishna's plan. But there was one descendant, Vrudra, who lived. So, are there any descendants of Vrudra? That's possible. It's possible. Do you know anything about?
No.
Anyway, as I said, there's difference, but there's no. It would be really, really difficult to prove that you are the. Anyone would. Hey, I'm a descendant of Krishna, man. Back off. Okay, yeah, I know it would be really hard to. There might be, but how are you going to prove it? I'm saying there might be. More questions. I love questions.
You want to just explain how they have the war?
Well, I will give the reason why. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, the reason Krishna came is because Mother Earth was distraught. And she was distraught because of the unnecessary military industrial complex that was there because of Kamsa. So Mother Earth went to Lord Brahma and said, she had tears in her eyes and said, please, I'm overburdened by all these demons. So Brahma went to the ocean of milk. That was one of the pictures you were looking at. And Krishna sent a text message to Brahma in his heart. Mm-hmm. And Krishna said, all you demigods, expand yourself and take birth in human forms in this Yadu dynasty, because I'm coming and I'm going to settle all accounts. You know, in the Godfather series, there's that one line, tonight we settle all accounts with the Corleone family. So Krishna accepted the prayers of Brahma and the demigods, and he said, I'm going to take care of all the demons. So the demigods took birth, they expanded themselves and took birth in the Yadu dynasty. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, practically speaking, all the demons were taken care of. And Lord Brahma actually came to Dwaraka and said, Krishna, you did exactly what we asked you to do. You've been on earth for 125 years. You can go back now. You did our job. Thank you. You can return home. Krishna said, well, there's only one thing left I gotta do, my family. Because if I leave and they're on the planet, they're gonna be too puffed up. And they will become another burden for the earth, because I'm here, I can check them. But if I'm gone, they have Krishna's powers. So they're all powerful, that Krishna's descendants, they have his powers. So when you got power, generally you flex it. So Krishna was concerned that if I go and they're here, who's going to check them? Who's going to keep them? So Krishna said, okay, before I go, they're all going. So there was an incident where they got cursed. And so Krishna told them, okay, we've been cursed by the Brahmins. We have to go to this holy place. And we have to purify ourselves of the curse. But in the sacrifice, they all drank this liquor that was produced from the sacrifice. So when they took the liquor, they all became intoxicated. And after being intoxicated, they started joking. You know what? You're this. Oh, really? Well, you're this, and then it started off being playful, but then it started getting nasty. So then they started fighting, and they picked up these reeds, and when they picked up the reeds, they turned into iron sticks, and they started killing each other. They even tried, please eat, don't worry about me. I want you to eat. You'll come up with more questions. Eat. Manja, my mother used to say. So they even attacked Krishna and Balaram because they were drunk. And Krishna and Balaram had to kill some of their own family. The thing was, so afterwards there was nobody left. So then Balaram produced a white snake from his mouth, got on back of the snake, and went back to Godhead. Then Krishna, after everybody's dead, Krishna sits under a tree. And Krishna's feet, they're reddish. And there was a hunter. And the hunter was shooting, looking for deer. And he thought that Krishna's feet was a deer. So he shot the arrow. And it went into Krishna's foot. But Krishna did not go owie. It was nothing to Krishna. You can't hurt Krishna. The hunter came and because the hunter knew about Krishna. He had love for Krishna. He didn't know that he had shot. So the hunter was very, very, oh, Krishna, I'm very sorry I've committed. Krishna said, no problem. This is all my plan. And then the hunter was assumed up into the spiritual sky. Pretty cool, huh? Is Krishna cool or what? You shoot him in the foot. He goes, no problem. You come to my abode. This is my Krishna. So then Krishna sits down and he begins to meditate on himself and he begins to ascend. And he's ascending and ascending and he goes throughout the whole universe. And he had told Lord Brahma back in Dwarka, when I'm on my way back, I'll pay you a visit. So Krishna went to see Brahma, and then he went back to his abode. Everything ends happily ever after. How's the food? Come on, eat, man. Eat. So one day you'll be sitting here, and you'll be... It all begins with the food. More questions? Yes. I don't want to.
Can you expound on God as a person?
Yes, I love that question. This is a delicious question. So God is a person. So we learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam very early the definition of the absolute truth. The definition of the absolute truth is beyond the conception of God. Because the absolute truth means everything. So this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the absolute truth is one, but it has three features. So the first realization of God is the impersonal, all-pervasive energy. Then the more advanced realization of the absolute truth is that God is in everybody's heart. Now, I'm not saying this to be puffed up, but I, at the age of 5, knew that God was in my heart. Nobody taught me that, but I distinctly remember sitting on the steps of my house at the age of 5, and I just knew God is in my heart. So that's the second advanced stage of God, realizing that God is in everyone's heart. Then the ultimate realization of God is that he is a unique, individual person.
But when you say person, you don't mean a guy that's like 5'10", with a, like, you know, heart and organs and goes to the bathroom and, you know, has to brush his teeth. And
he has a spiritual body with hands, a face. He eats, he gets a bath every day. So, are you from the Christian background?
I'm from everything background.
Okay, that's fine. Well, in the Christian Bible, there's a phrase, man is made out of the image and likeness of God. So this ultimate form of God, Krishna, is a human-like form. That information is not given. He looks like a 16-year-old youth. Now, I've never read anywhere the exact dimensions, but he looks like a 16-year-old in the kingdom of God. We're not talking about when he comes to earth. But in his original abode, his eternal form is like a 16-year-old youth. He has hands. He looks like a human being. He eats, he plays, he dances, he kisses.
Does he go to the bathroom?
I would have to say yes. Because he does all the things. But keep in mind this, though. Keep in mind this. Everything is blissful. Everything is conscious. And everything is blissful. So there's no pain, there's no anxiety. So even he goes to the bathroom, he's enjoying it. I mean, I told the story, when he comes to earth as a child, he was urinating in the neighbor's houses. So yes, I would have to say he does everything. He eats, he kisses, he plays a flute, he does everything. You can have as many parts as you like. I love your question.
I know that, you know, when you're a Krishna devotee, you're not supposed to, you know, have illicit sex.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's for procreation. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to eat meat or eat intoxicants. Let's say you slip on one of these, and you were performing one of these acts that you're not supposed to. If you actually thought about Krishna the entire time you were doing it, sort of like dedicated your mistake in a way. I don't know if dedicated mistake's right word, but if you just kind of said, like, let's say somebody was backsliding and they were drinking some alcohol, and
mm-hmm.
something like, well, I'm weak in the flesh, but here's to you, Krishna.
He gets credit for that. But here, two things happen. At least he gets credit for remembering Krishna. So that's a positive. But you're still going to get the reaction, both on the physical end, because drinking and, you know, these things have a negative effect on the body. So that's still going to happen. And Prabhupada said one time you're excused. Two times you're excused. Three times you're excused. But if something becomes a habit, and if Krishna really cares about you, he'll arrange things in such a way that you learn your lesson.
Well, because like for me, I've kind of been steeped in sin for pretty much most of my life, but it's never stopped me from seeking a spiritual path.
Good.
And there have even been times where I was doing something wrong, whatever, eating meat, one of the two other things, and the whole time, actually, I was actually thinking about spiritual matters the entire time I was doing those things, and it almost, there's been times where it's almost seemed to like really lighten the effect of the thing that I did.
That's possible, that's called Krishna's mercy, but like I said, don't take advantage, because that's the seventh offense. And like I said, one time, a couple, you might be excused, but if you go on, you may get smited down. So it's...
smited down, what does that mean?
You know what I mean.
Well, no, is that... eternal punishment?
No, not no, but... Krishna will do something to show you that this is not the way to go. Things will happen. And you'll snap out of this illusion. It's not, let's put it this way. It's not